Gracious God, we thank you for the simplicity of that song, the invitation that has come from the lips and heart of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you that that rest is found in salvation for our souls. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Thank you that that rest is found for our hearts in the midst of the turmoil and turbulence of this broken world. This morning we thank you that Jesus made all the provision for us to come to Him. That He, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. To please His Father, to glorify Him, and to save sinners like me and those of us here today. Thank you that we too can look to the joy that is set before us. And that which is found in Jesus Christ alone. Open our minds, our eyes, our hearts, Lord, to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, I would remind you there are some completed notes on the back, little pedestal there at the back of the sanctuary for those who might want those already filled in. I decided, as you can see, to leave the boxes here for one more Sunday. They serve, I hope, as a reminder that our God is too big to be contained in the boxes that we have constructed. Whatever size, whatever shape they may be, God is too big to be contained in the box of the God that we wish He would be. Rather, we come to worship Him as the God who is. I once again encourage you, if you've missed any of the messages in this series, I encourage you to get a copy here by just simply filling in a slip there at the back window or getting online. But again, I say it again, not so much for the messenger, but the messages that I think are something that the Lord would have each one of us to hear and to know. We are in the midst of this series, More Than Conquerors. And by God's grace, I pray that we are learning what that looks like in this broken world, how to be and live as more than conquerors on Monday morning and Wednesday afternoon and Friday and Saturday night. This morning we'll see that we are more than conquerors, and I've taken that from Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. But we'll see that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us when we, by His grace, see beyond the brokenness of this world. And we see to the joy that is set before us. Just as Jesus saw the joy that was set before Him and thus endured. I want to turn to the wisdom writer, Solomon, this morning. And to the words that he wrote that have become words that are quoted often in our world. In part, in the early verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read, "For everything there is a season and a time. For every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to seek, and a time to lose." Solomon wrote that journal that is the book of Ecclesiastes, and at the end of that writing, he concluded that everything in this world, even the good things, are all temporary. They'll pass away. And without God, all of those things, no matter how good they may be, are meaningless, again, without God. I want to ask you a question as Solomon writes about these seasons. Has the ending of one of life's seasons for you brought any measure of disillusionment or discouragement? Has the closing of a particular season or chapter in your life brought a longing for more? Life in this broken world is a series of closing chapters, a series of endings that none of us is capable of stopping. I read an article early on in these last months after Pat had passed away, and this idea of endings was something that I read. And I made some notes on my tablet and the things that I was scribbling as a somewhat of a journal. And so I wanted to come back to them at some point when I had the opportunity to preach. There are some chapters that we want to end. We wish they would end quickly. You know, the parent of the terrible two. Or might I say, the tumultuous teens. You know, we can't wait for some chapters to end. Or maybe it's the chapter of an unpleasant job. Or that chapter of a prolonged illness, or closing the chapter that is chronic pain, for instance. But others we wish would never end. I think that perhaps you can identify and relate to some things that I'm going to say. Whenever I return to my hometown of Emmaus, I am reminded about such endings. I'm reminded about how chapters close. I share some personal things here, not so much that you can hear more of my story, and some of these are familiar to you, but I want to prompt your mind to think about those chapters in your life, the same perhaps longings and the same things that I have dealt with respect to those closings. And I want the endings, and I want you to consider as I share perhaps some things that would be pertinent to you. And so I lament those endings. When I go to Emmaus and I see the church in which I grew up. And I lived right across the alley from that church. And I see the modest brick row home. Now they call them duplexes. Fancy name for, it was a row home. Two together, a little space, two more, a little space, two more for like five blocks, you know, on every street. And that was my grandparents' home. My dad's dad had it built. It was my parents' home. It was my home. And then now it's my sister's home. And I see the backyard, the neighborhood where me and my buddies played combat. I see the manhole cover in the alley that was home plate when I pitched to my dad. And I'll admit that I dreamed that maybe that manhole cover would one day be hanging in the Hall of Fame. It's still in the alley in the back of the house. Or going by the ball fields where I took the mound on so many occasions. The playground at Jefferson School where I would go in the dark and shoot 25 shots from a dozen different places on the court under the streetlight. Those times of what I would call for me. It's not true for everybody, and I understand that. But for me, those were times of childhood innocence and blessings. And they came to an end. And every time I go to Emmaus, I think about that. Dad died 3 years ago. Mom and Dad had moved out of that house 10 years before. I think of God's incredible faithfulness to me during those years. Of how blessed I was and how grateful I am. And I've shared it many times for that blessing of childhood that God gave to me. Yet I'm struck by the reality of things in this world constantly ending. Perhaps conscious or subconscious, a question lingers. Lord, is life nothing more than an accumulation of endings? Lord, is life nothing more than an accumulation of chapters closing, leaving us with nothing more than accumulating memories to think about? Again, I hope that you have been prompted to remember some of these things in your own life. Sometimes we refer to those closed chapters as the good old days. the closings, the endings for me, when I think personally, I think of when I was 10 years old, when I turned 10. Don't ask me how I remember this or why, I just remember it vividly. When I turned 10, I didn't want to turn 10. That was double figures, you know. The teen years were coming. I don't know why it was, but I was so content in the life that God gave me as a little boy. I was happy to stay there. I remember I told our youngest daughter, Annie, when she was 6 years old, she still remembers this, and I said, Annie, that's it, six, we're not going any further. Now this July she'll be 28. I say, you disobeyed me, girl. I think of when I graduated from high school, and I had no idea what vocation to pursue at college. But the high school chapter closed. I think of when I decided to walk away from baseball at Muhlenberg College after 1 year and then not go back there, and the Muhlenberg chapter closed. And rather, I went to work for a Christian carpenter as an apprentice to him for $3.10 an hour. I remember the mixed emotions at turning 18 and knowing that my cozy, comfortable, safe life at home with a loving mom and dad and four siblings was ending. And I would enter into that sobering world of being an adult, whether I was ready or not. I know some people can't wait to be 18. I'm telling you, I'm strange. But you never put that on. You never admitted that. I'm just telling you what was going on inside. I think of when Pat, and many of you know this story that I've told publicly, when she joined the Navy, and for all intents and purposes, our relationship was over, and my dream of being her husband had been shattered. And that chapter seemed to close abruptly. Thanks be to God, he opened up a new chapter, and I will be eternally grateful for that. But at the time, it was another chapter closing. I think about the closing chapters with mixed emotions. They're bittersweet in some. For instance, when our daughters one by one went off to college. And I remember when our oldest, Amy, went to Taylor University and she said, Dad, it'll never be the same again. That crushed me. But it wasn't. It wasn't bad. It was just different. Because chapters close. And then when I gave three daughters away and at each one saying, gosh, where did the years go? Chapters ending. Chapters closing. If we consider life from a temporary, merely an earthly perspective, then I would suggest you, according to Solomon, there's a season for everything under the sun. And according to our own experience, when we look at it from that temporal perspective, life is a series of endings. Of closing chapters. We say it in different ways. We say, this too shall pass. Or we say, all good things must come to an end. Or today we like to say, it is what it is. Now granted, new chapters open, thankfully, right? But you ever think about it? Those new chapters are going to end too. Life is a series of endings. The final ending when we take our last breath. And every one of us will do that because last I checked, nobody got out of this life alive, right? I've remarked numerous times over the years that there are times in life when you sort of want to freeze frame time. You want to stay there forever. I remember sitting in the living room with Pat one evening years ago. All four daughters were home. We could hear them in the room below laughing together, having a blast. And we looked at one another and simply smiled. We both felt, let's stop the train right here. Can we stay at this station? Of course, you knew you can't. And so life would move on. Or last August on vacation in Ocean City, Maryland with our entire family together. Another good time to freeze frame life. But then another chapter slammed shut on September 2nd. 7 months ago today, when Pat died, and that chapter closed. Life is a series of endings. Life, when viewed from a temporary, mere earthly perspective, seems like a series of endings of disappointments that we cannot stop from occurring. until the very end. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for man to die once, and then after that, the judgment. I think there were freeze frame moments for the disciples as well. So think about Peter, James, and John. It was on the Mount of Transfiguration, their freeze frame moment. They even told us that. There they are with Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And they said, hey, let's build some dwelling places. We'll put up some tents. Let's stay here forever. That was their freeze frame moment. I would suppose all the disciples had their freeze frame moment when Jesus was among them and receiving the adulation of the adoring crowd as he made his way into Jerusalem in what is called his triumphal entry, when he presented himself as the rightful king of the Jews, and they welcomed him with palm branches and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the king. Things were sweet. Times were good. But that chapter closed quickly, didn't it? 5 days later, Jesus is hanging on a cross. I don't want to be sacrilegious, but might we even imagine Jesus in heaven with his Father and with the Holy Spirit in that perfect triunity? But even that chapter ended when Jesus left the glory of heaven and came into this world and to the earth to die upon the cross for our sins. So even Jesus was familiar with endings, with the closing chapters, but he showed us that earthly endings are not final. That's huge for us today. That we can see beyond the earthly endings to the joy that is set before us, even as the joy was set before Jesus. So to live as more than conquerors through Him who loved us, Jesus, in the midst of this broken world, we need an eternal perspective that will enable us to see beyond the endings to a new beginning, and finally a new beginning that will never end. A new beginning that will last forever when we are with Jesus Christ in our home in heaven. Jesus lived with an eternal perspective, and that perspective directed everything in his life. It directed what he loved. That eternal perspective directed what he invested in and what he hoped in. And I think we can very clearly and specifically see this in the events leading up to his death on the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Where the author writes, looking unto Jesus, or our very familiar translation, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the founder, the author, and finisher or perfecter of our faith, who, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. We know he could have called down legions of angels. We know that he could have taken himself off of that cross and conquered all of those people around, but he saw the joy that was set before him, and as a result, he endured the cross. So you see, when Jesus' earthly chapter was coming to what we would call a horrific and abrupt ending, with a torturous death on a cross, it was his eternal perspective that filled his heart with hope and enabled him to endure. We must learn from Jesus that we too can see the joy that is set before us, and thus endure what God calls us to endure in the brokenness of this world. There is absolutely no way to sugarcoat the suffering of our Savior. And clearly, his knowledge that the closing of his earthly chapter in that horrific way to be tortured and killed upon a cross as he gave his life, his knowledge that that closing was not the end, but would give way to the opening of another chapter. a lasting chapter. Indeed, a permanent, eternal chapter. One that would be filled with hope. And that strengthened him with endurance as well. And so Jesus must be our example. Just as he did, we are called to endure the brokenness of this world because we too know that this is not the final chapter for us, just as Jesus knew that. There was greater joy set before him, and my friend, there's greater joy set before us. That joy is found in Jesus. But not only is Jesus to be our example, he himself is the very object of our hope. He himself is the very reason for our endurance through the disappointments and those chapter closings, those endings that inevitably come in this world. And so we see in Jesus Christ how we can be more than conquerors when we too experience those bitter endings in this life. To live as more than conquerors, you must see the joy set before you just as Christ did. And let me share some things about how we can do that. First of all, you must evaluate your present suffering in light of a greater future glory. Again, more than conquerors. To do that, we have to be able to see the hope and the joy that is set before us and thus endure. To do that, we evaluate our present suffering in light of a greater future glory, because the final chapter that will never end is wonderful. Paul writes in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For I consider." That word consider means to give careful thought to what is true. Give careful thought to the realities, to the facts, and then to draw the appropriate conclusion. In this case, considering, when we think about what we know to be true from God's Word, what we know about God, then we draw the conclusion that our suffering indeed will give way to greater glory. Paul said the same thing in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For this light and momentary affliction of this world, and it was pretty serious stuff for him to call light and momentary, but this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I don't know how many times, and I've been guilty of it myself, we saw when we see Jesus, we're going to ask him some things, you know? We want some clarification, Lord. Explain yourself. Lord, why? Help us to understand. And I like to say, you know what? We won't care. We won't care at that point. It's not worth whatever it is that we've dealt with here, we're not going to care. It will be such joy and bliss and to be in the presence of Jesus. Jesus' entire life's choices were guided by such evaluation of seeing his present suffering in light of a greater future glory. And so he set his face toward earth and left the glories of heaven, knowing that he would be rejected by his own when he got here. He set his face then towards Jerusalem, knowing that the cries of "crucify him" would meet him there. And then he set his face toward the cross, knowing that it was there on that cross that he would be forsaken, utterly and totally abandoned by his Father. Jesus endured obediently, because he saw his sufferings, as horrific as they were, greater than any of us will ever face. He saw them in light of a greater future, or as the author of Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, he endured. That joy for Jesus, the restored fellowship with his Father in the glory of heaven, it was the joy of knowing the delight of his Father in his obedience as a son. It was the joy of receiving a treasured possession, an inheritance of a people, the bride of Christ, the church, of receiving that inheritance, that people who would have been bought and bought by His very own blood, which He shed. And so we are called to give careful thought, to think about what we know to be true, and then to draw the right conclusion. And that conclusion in this case is to realize and to understand that our suffering will give way to greater glory through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we too can endure as more than conquerors. Secondly, we need to look beyond what we see with our naked eye to what we see with our eyes of faith. So look beyond what you see with your naked or physical eyes to what you see with your eyes of faith. Because things are not always what they seem. We know that. Oh, these eyes can play tricks on us. 2 Corinthians 4:18, that's exactly what Paul says. He says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're temporary. They'll all pass away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So we've got to be able to see somehow beyond what we can see with the naked eye. We've got to see with eyes of faith. Paul is saying you cannot trust your physical vision. You can be deceived by the way things appear. When Jesus hung on that cross, things did not appear to be very promising. Saturday was bleak. Saturday was dark. Saturday was hopeless. Saturday was lonely. That's what they appeared to be. But things are not always what they seem. And so faith allows us to see things that we cannot see with our naked eye, especially, I would say, when the bottom's falling out. Suffering has a way of blinding us to the things that we should see with eyes of faith. Suffering can smother us in blindness, as it were. Paul, in this same context, will remind us that we are groaning in this world. We're burdened. But in 2 Corinthians 5:6, just a few verses down, he says, so we are always of good courage. We are always of good courage. I think about the words where Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. We don't always feel that way, but that's what Paul's saying. That's the truth. That's the reality in which we live, in that realm of faith. And so we are always of good courage. Why? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. You know, when suffering is heavy, the only way that we can really move forward and step day by day is to see with the eyes of faith. Otherwise, it's debilitating and crushing. In the midst of suffering, only seeing with our physical eyes will discourage and dishearten us. But when we see with the eyes of faith, then we'll be strengthened and we'll be encouraged. You know what I'm talking about. You know, when that thing that you're dealing with just is like a mountain. You can't see around it. You can't see past it. You surely can't see through it. Somehow there needs to be a perspective that comes. And again, that perspective has to be, as Rick began the service, Pastor Rick, how big is your God? The only way the issues in our life that cause suffering and pain, the only way that they can come, that we can deal with them is if our God is big, and therefore then we can see them in light of the bigness of God. And I'm suggesting again, not only seeing them in the light of the bigness of God, but seeing them in light of what is yet to come. The joy that is set before us. And so we will, through the eyes of faith, we will see beyond the pain to a greater plan and greater purpose of God. We won't understand it necessarily. Quite frankly, we won't, but we can see beyond to the fact that He has that greater plan and purpose. We will experience power in our pain because the Spirit of God has been given to us as the guarantee of the faithfulness of God's promises that He will keep every single one. We will see, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that there are, with the eyes of faith, we'll see that there are blessings to be born only out of that brokenness. With the eyes of faith, we can see what C.S. Lewis calls severe mercy. Severe because it's painful. Mercy is because in that pain we're drawn to a deeper love and dependence upon the Spirit of God, upon the Lord Jesus Christ as He walks with us. Through the eyes of faith, we'll see that we don't walk alone, but that the sovereign and good God walks with us, and not only walks with us, but goes before us. But you'll only see those things when you see through the eyes of faith, not with the naked eye. Because things aren't always what they appear. The eyes of faith enable to see what is truly true. To see the joy set before us. To be more than conquerors. We must evaluate our present suffering in light of the future glory that is ours. We must look beyond what we can see with our naked eye and see with the eyes of faith. And thirdly, we must gaze expectantly at heaven's open doors. Because heaven is closer than you realize. Interesting word in Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Paul writes, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Eager longing. Some translations may say eager expectation or anxious longing or earnest expectation. That word is used one other place in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. J.B. Phillips gives a great paraphrase of it. He writes, "The whole creation is on tiptoes to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming in to their own." The imagery there is one of someone stretching up as tall as they can, craning one's neck on the tippy tiptoes to get a better view. Each of our five granddaughters, when they were of that age, just learning to walk and just, you know, being, I don't know how tall, but coming up to my knee, they couldn't quite see out the picture window in the living room, and so they would go over to that windowsill, and they would go on their tiptoes, and they would stretch as high as they could, and they would stretch their neck as high as they could, and they maybe were able to get their eyes just above the windowsill to see the glorious sight of what's out there on Anglin Drive. And as I said, then they were disappointed. We won't be disappointed. As we crane our necks and stand on our tiptoes and get as tall as we can to get a better view of eternity. How can we endure through the suffering of this broken world? How can we live as more than conquerors when suffering looms large? By standing on our tiptoes, by craning our necks, by stretching as tall as we can so that eternity becomes visible through the eyes of faith. Fourthly, lastly, rejoice in that God has made you for something more. Rejoice in that God has made you for something more. Because you are more than simply the dash between your birth and death. I think Solomon puts it well when he says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, I think he explains that, God has put eternity into man's heart. Think about the endings, the closing chapters of your own life. Why do we instinctively rebel against them? Why don't we like them? Why do we try to resist them? Why do we try to delay them? And I'm guessing and thinking at some point, you know what I'm talking about here. The reason our hearts recoil and rebel against these earthly endings is because we were made for something else. We were created by God for something more. We were made for something that is permanent, lasting, eternal, relational with God. And what God created in that original creation to be permanent, life in the garden with God, walking in the coolness of the day, that sweet fellowship, what God created to be permanent, sin entered and made it temporary. Fellowship was broken and man was cast out from the presence of God. And from that time on, endings and death became a part of the universal human experience. It wasn't that way from the beginning. What God created to be pleasant, our longings, all of our desires, satisfied in God and Him alone. Sin made toxic. When we turn from finding everything that we need in God and looking to find that in other things, when God says, I'm the only one, and then all the mess that comes with trying to find our satisfaction and joy in the things that this world offers. Endings are dissonant to our soul because we were not made for endings. We were not made for things to grow old, for things to grow stale. We were not made for things to fade away, things to disappoint us. It was sin that introduced endings and the disappointments that they bring. And here we are in a world full of endings. And our hearts long for the eternal. And those disappointments that come with the temporariness of everything that's connected to this life, and those longings are a reflection of God's image in our souls. We were created by God in His image to be satisfied in Him forever. Sin distorted that image. It never eradicated it. And as a result, today we continue to groan for Him and for what will last forever, because those endings constantly remind us of what we have lost. And God gives us those longings as a gift that we will keep on searching. And as Acts 17 says, and we will find Him, for He is close at hand. And we long for the day when endings will end and there will be no more endings, when, as the psalmist says, when in your presence there will be fullness of joy and at your right hand will be pleasures forevermore. The new chapter, which will never end. A new beginning that will last forever. And that brings us back to the cross yet again this morning. I'm going to ask the men who will be distributing the elements, would you come please? Gather at the back. We come back to the cross again this morning, where Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price so that we might know hope in our disappointment, that we might know joy in our sorrow, that we might know strength in our weakness, that we might know righteousness even in our sinfulness, that we might know forgiveness in the place of guilt. We live in a broken world. But by the grace of God, we can endure in this broken world, and we can in fact live as more than conquerors when we consider the joy that is set before us, just as Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We will taste and see that the Lord is good. We will taste and see those new mercies that are poured out into our lives in the midst of our suffering when we consider the price that Jesus paid on the cross, where He took our guilt, where He clothed us in His righteousness, and He did everything necessary to provide the joy set before you and me if we belong to Him. This morning, let's look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured. And I implore you and me that we might wear the mantle of more than conquerors through Him who loved us by lingering at the cross this morning, today, by embracing our Savior in the suffering of Friday while seeing the joy that came with Sunday. That we might see the fullness of joy that yet awaits all of us who belong to Jesus Christ by faith. Let's remember and let's endure as more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us.